Committee on Ways and Means for Friday, March 16th. Good morning, everybody. We have a short agenda today, but before we get into the agenda, I would like to let the committee know, on behalf of the co-chair and myself, we will be scheduling a special meeting of the Joint Committee next Thursday morning. We have arranged with the presiding officers for there to be abbreviated floor sessions in both chambers, and immediately following that, we will convene the Ways and Means Committee on the floor of the House so that we can present to you and the rest of the Assembly our recommended co-chair's budget for this session. Thank you. So you have only today, Representative, to make your speech. And then next week it can be that you are voting against it because you don't like what's in it. So we will do that in that venue in order to have as much visibility and transparency. Both the co-chair and I believe that this is a document that should generate a lot of discussion and debate and input from all members of both chambers, but particularly from everyone on this committee. So we wanted to present it in a forum that would have the most visibility and, frankly, make it accessible to as many people as possible. Shortly after that discussion, we will be available together to all the caucuses for detailed discussion and questions in those forums as well. So thank you. We look forward to having that discussion and beginning our conversation around that particular recommendation. And that begins the work. It doesn't end it, as you all know, but it begins the work that the legislature does to take control of the budget. So let's start with the business of the day. Did you have any comments on that, Mr. Co-Chair? Let's move to budget bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 5014, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 5014 is the budget bill for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. The agency has a variety of regulatory programs, including workers' compensation, Oregon Occupational Safety and Health Administration insurance, finance and corporate securities, and building codes. The agency is supported by assessments and fees charged for services, including workers' compensation assessments and license and inspection fees. DCBS receives $14.2 million in federal funds for support of occupational safety and health programs. DCBS has statutory authority to expend its federal funds as other funds. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee approved a total budget of $648.8 million other funds, 1,079 positions, and 1,067.42 FTE. The operating budget is an increase of $16.3 million other funds, which is an increase of 8.9%, and a reduction of four positions to the legislatively approved budget. The approved budget maintains the essential budget level and includes three policy option packages. These packages fund staff and other costs related to two policy bills that regulate check cashers and begin the implementation of an e-permitting project in the Building Codes Division. Also approved was a package to enhance funding for the Senior Health Insurance Benefits Assistance Program, with most of the funding to be used to support volunteer assistance programs in Oregon communities. The subcommittee did not approve a revenue transfer proposed in the governor's budget to fund 24-hour state police patrol operations out of a surcharge on motor vehicle insurance because that proposal seemed uncertain at the time. The subcommittee approved two budget notes that require the agency report to the Legislative Fiscal Office on progress in revising agency performance measures and the e-permitting project, and also approved a technical amendment that revised wording in the budget bill. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 5014 as amended with the -1 amendment.
Thank you, Representative. Is there discussion? Senator Whitson?
Thank you, Chair Nolan. I would point out that on page 3 of the LFO report, the last line, this package is funded with the general fund and the Department of Human Services. That will be expended as other funds in DCBS, and that's amount to about $800,000, I believe, $825,000. And then I would, with the request, I believe that this is the first appropriations bill that has had a budget note affixed to it this year. And I would respectfully request that the co-chairs and strip committee staff to include descriptions of all committee budget notes, both in the planning for the bill's carrier, as well as in the materials distributed to the members prior to the floor vote. This requested procedure becomes particularly important in the rush of legislation prior to sine die, when most members simply are not afforded the time to read the bills, much less the committee reports, and so things slip by us. I believe that the courtesy of calling attention to any committee budget note and describing its content on the chamber floor will help to avoid future concern and embarrassment to members of the legislature.
Thank you, Senator.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion?
Madam Co-Chair, just to clarify, you wanted to ensure that I, when I'm presenting the bill on the floor, call attention to the budget notes. Is that what you're suggesting, Senator Whitson?
Co-Chair Nolan, Representative Shields, not just this bill. I would like to see that I was requesting that as a policy for all of the appropriations bills that have a budget note to please draw that to the attention on the floor during the debate.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any objections?
None.
Thank you. Senate Bill 5503, the Commission on the Blind. Senator Gordley.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, Senate Bill 5503 is the budget bill for the Commission for the Blind. The agency provides rehabilitation services to legally blind Oregonians who want to be employed or live independently in their communities. The agency is funded primarily with federal funds. Other fund sources include a contract with Multnomah County, interagency agreements, and donations. The agency's general fund is used exclusively to match federal funds. The Human Services Subcommittee approved a total budget of $15.3 million and 47.24 full-time equivalent positions. Federal funds represent 74% of the total. The general fund portion of $1.5 million is $250,000 greater than the essential budget level. The approved budget expands access to services by adding 3 instructor positions, restores general fund support eliminated in 2003, and carries forward federal fund expenditure limitation to complete the Portland facility renovation project. The subcommittee approved the agency's performance measures and added the new board best practices measure. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5503 be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion? Senator Berger.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senator Gordley, was there any discussion at the committee level about the cost of the audible lighting system for the blind in crossing highways?
I don't recall any discussion of that topic, Senator Berger.
Thank you very much.
Any other discussion? Representative Hanna?
I'd like to declare a conflict.
Please state your conflict.
My conflict. I'm a member of a limited liability corporation that does contracted vending for the Commission for the Blind.
So noted for the record. Any other discussion?
Senator, just to note that I had the opportunity to visit the agency during the interim. This is a well-run agency, very dedicated, hard-working staff. They are in the process of renovating a building that had all kinds of structural problems, including mold, which was a health hazard for the staff. Again, just want to note that they did a wonderful job in making their presentation before the Human Services Subcommittee, and the public testimony was very compelling.
Good to know, Senator.
Further discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Thank you. Moving to other business. Department of Education, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the Department of Education's request for the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Education in the amount of $5 million for assistance in meeting the needs for data-driven decision-making. This grant will fund the Oregon Direct Access to Achievement, or DATA, project. The project is designed to strengthen the structure of the longitudinal data systems that are already being developed in the state and provide stakeholders with comprehensive training and informed access to data. The outcomes are expected to include a system of regional data warehouses containing highly aggregated local and state level data, coupled with professional development that will allow teachers and administrators to engage in ad hoc query, apologies to Representative Nelson for using Latin, and analysis of the data. There are no matching requirements for state funds, and no additional staff will be needed for the implementation. The grant will cover the one-time implementation costs, with future maintenance and oversight costs expected to be minimal and absorbed by the education service districts. Your Subcommittee on Education recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Senator Johnson.
Was there any discussion at the committee level when this grant request came forward? I had a very hard time following the narrative, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure in plain old English that I know exactly what this grant does. Let me start there.
Sure.
But the part that struck me was data aggregation. And my question is, was there any discussion at the subcommittee level about the department's failure to aggregate its data at Scenic and now wanting to aggregate data in specified places throughout the state? To the best of my knowledge, the Department of Ed is one of the reasons that the centralized information network that put together the platforms for the 12 big agencies, they are conspicuously absent based on all sorts of barriers to aggregating data, and now we're asking for $5 million from the federal government to aggregate data. And I'm just trying to figure out why they can't do it in our Oregon consolidated information network system, but they want to aggregate data in other places.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall sort of lengthy discussion or any real discussion about that, although I think Senator Devlin wanted to chime in, not to take the co-chairs.
Senator Devlin, did you want to answer that question?
Madam Co-Chair, I do not believe that this will probably satisfy the good senator from Skepoos. But my understanding is that part of the problem in actually aggregating the data in Scenic is restrictions by the U.S. Department of Education and who can have even the possibility of access to the data.
And the short answer to your question is no. I mean, we didn't really have a discussion on that.
But that discussion was outside the committee meeting with the Department of Ed.
Senator Johnson.
Madam Co-Chair, I just feel compelled to respond to this. This has been sort of an ongoing problem for me this session. And that is that we spent as much money as we spent on the Scenic data consolidation and didn't know from the outset that there may be problems with the Department of Education having their data in a consolidated network. It seems to me that that would have been a threshold question to ask before we embarked on amalgamating all of this data from these big agencies. And we have over $100 million involved in Scenic. Had it not been for the leadership of Director Ball at DAS, I think the Scenic enterprise would have failed. And it just concerns me that we don't seem to ask the right questions up front with regard to all of this data manipulation. And not only are we presented with a description of a grant request this morning that I find incomprehensible, I'm perfectly willing to admit I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I can't understand what that grant is asking for, and we can't seem to get data amalgamated at the scenic site. I don't know what distinguishes this. And I have a real problem with some kind of data is okay to manipulate, some kind of data isn't okay to manipulate, and absent an explanation that differentiates those two, I'm a no on this request.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Nelson, did you want to respond?
Well, I don't know that's going to satisfy Senator Johnson, but just it seems evident that with No Child Left Behind and also under the superintendent's direction, there is, in terms of accountability and trying to foster transparency, there's just enormous resources and a strong desire to be data-driven and find out baseline where people are and testing, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's extraordinarily costly, so seeking money at the federal level. But I don't think that really gets to your question, but it just seems to be kind of the philosophy from both the federal government and from the department.
Thank you. I do know I've got a couple other members who'd like to speak, but I think it might be helpful to have Mr. Hill give us some information.
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, let me clarify a couple of things. The Department of Education has sent a letter to the federal government asking whether the data issues that we have with Scenic are truly issues or not, or whether there's ways that they can still be involved in the Scenic project. So we're waiting back for some answers from the federal government on that portion of it. As to this grant itself, this grant, there have been dollars given to the education enterprise as a whole and to the Department of Education to gather data and allow data to be transferred more easily between the entities. There's a project that is to transfer data called the KIDS Project, which transfers data between school districts. There's also the integrated data technology that between post-secondary and the K-12 enterprise. And what this is supposed to do, this is going to allow them to aggregate some of the data up so that the ESDs, educational service districts, and teachers and administrators can have better access to this data. They're doing a great job of gathering all the information. Now we need to turn it around so that it's more useful for folks.
Senator Nelson?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Actually, the last comment goes to my comments. I have 23 school districts in my Senate district, and almost to a school district, they always say, do we need one more report? We're only filing about 65. And then my question, I guess, is, will this thing generate more reports that our school districts will not use?
Do you have an answer to that?
Well, there's a lot of pressure for so-called accountability and transparency. And again, from both the federal level and I think from this legislature, sort of, what are schools doing and how are we doing on examinations and can we track students? And so I don't know that it's simply the Department of Education is just sort of driven for no particular purpose. I think there are a lot of external pressures from folks in this building, from folks in Washington, D.C. when looking at education, show us, statistics and data. And to do that, with tens of thousands of students, I mean, it's collecting a lot of data and it's driven. And then how do you manipulate and use that? As an educator, I could tell you that it could be very frustrating, and I question this quite often. But coming back to the concerns about accountability and transparency, I don't know that there are other ways to achieve both of those absent gathering data and statistics and saying, we were here, now we're here, what are we... So I think that's part of what drives us.
Thank you. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
This has been an ongoing discussion for a number of bienniums, and I know that people that have been in the education arena, both on the policy side and the fiscal side, have seen the swing over the last 6 years or so towards more database management in education. The federal government, I think that the sub-chair is right on in his assessment. The federal government is looking for some empirical data that students are moving through the system at a specific rate. The state of Oregon has moved into the forefront, and we've hit a bump in the road on TESA, the computer system that helps give teachers and students very quick feedback on the assessment testing. But we'll get beyond that. I think that's a very manageable situation. I think that the problem that we've got is there is a lot of data initiatives on a lot of different levels that go in a lot of different directions. And we're at a threshold here where we could potentially be leaving the educators behind by not bringing their skills up to be able to access the data, not just the student achievement data, but data about developments in the education field that will help them on a continuing education kind of basis from their professional skills standpoint. There's a tremendous amount of information out there that will help not only help us make better policy decisions, but it will help the educators themselves do a better job of educating the students. It will help the students understand better where they fit into a larger scheme of things in terms of their own achievements, and it will help the citizens of Oregon understand what's going on inside of the education system in the state. But all of this is just kind of exploding in front of us, and I understand very clearly people's frustration, because I don't think it's clear yet what the system is going to look like. I absolutely share Senator Johnson's concerns about developing a data management structure within the Department of Education that's independent of the state system. I think that that's a bad policy decision for the state of Oregon. But I do absolutely support continuing the conversation and trying to build the data system in the state of Oregon, because we right now don't have nearly the information we need just in this body to be able to make good policy decisions. And when you take a look at it from all of the perspective of the stakeholders in the education system, the discussion and the system itself is only going to be enriched by an understandable data system. So bear with us. I mean, we have to work this through, and we have to muck through it. And I think undeniably we're not at a place yet where we've gotten there. But to be able to have those discussions in an open arena and to be able to agree on what a set of goals looks like in terms of how we'll deal with that data and how we'll mesh in with our federal partners and how we'll mesh in with our local delivery system is a work in progress, and it's something that I look forward to working on. And I think that we need to go forward with our eyes open on it, but we need to go forward. Thank you, Representative. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think one of the things that we could do in this regard that might be helpful is to get some clear commitments out of the Department of Ed. They happen to be before the Subcommittee on Education at this particular time. I know that they've made the query to the federal government in anticipation of when they expect a response, and also in terms of what they believe the obstacles are, and to see if we can help resolve this issue. I think the bigger issue is that we went down this road for, I think, very good reasons. And one of those
struggles is we've never been really able to track from district to district the progress of individual students. A student that leaves one school district in the third grade and then arrives in another in the fifth, we might get a report card or something like that. But in terms of test scores and other things, we don't really have the data systems available. Particularly 2 to 3 years ago, we didn't. We invested, I think, close to $8 million in our current biennium to start to put that data system together and to make it work, and I think we're investing something close to that neighborhood, and those are general fund dollars, not federal dollars, to make this system work. I think this federal grant will help in that effort. I understand the concerns that a lot of members have, both about the lack of their participation in the scenic project and also the issue about just how much data is necessary. But I think it's very important to be able to see what the progress of individual students are and to track them through the process regardless of which school district they're in.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to make a few statements that I hope either the subcommittee chair or the staff will correct me if I'm making some wrong assumptions here. From reading the report and the proposal or the request in front of us, what I get from this is we're not, this request is not to enable the department to require or mandate collecting more data. It seems that it's a way of being able to use data that's already being collected but not used. It also seems that it's not mandating that individual districts or teachers or education service districts or whatever make more reports, but a way of helping them make reports in a more cost-effective way that's also more reliable and usable to compare data. What I'm assuming here is that if a district wants to compare itself to another district without a good platform with a good degree of ensured quality of data and ways of comparing it, what they have to do is prepare a report and then maybe either exchange phone calls or email messages to other districts that they want to compare themselves to make sure that they can get data and compare it. Seems like this would avoid what may be laborious ways of preparing reports for either school boards or the Department of Education or any other citizen or oversight group. It seems like this is enabling better and more automated and more comprehensive reports with information that's available but just not usable presently.
Thank you, Representative. I think that's helpful. I saw some heads nodding, at least one, so maybe that helps explain things to people. Senator Gordon.
Thank you very much. What's missing for me, Madam Co-Chair, and I really appreciate all of the discussion, particularly the comments made by Representative Morgan. The department is telling us that they think the grant will have an impact on performance measures related to student achievement. That's what's in the analyst report. But we need to be able to better answer the question of how the grant will have an impact on Department of Education performance measures related to student achievement. That's the piece that's missing for me. It's the how. We need to be more explicit about that.
Mr. Hill?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, I don't disagree with you. They are up against a deadline here. The deadline just to actually apply for this grant was... it's either today or it was yesterday. I have asked those questions of them, and they are more than happy to give me that data. I just don't have it yet. But they have that, and just like any other policy package or any other grant, they know that we need to do that, and not only just specify what it is, but how it is. And so they are working on that information right now.
Appreciate that. And
so when the information is available, we will pass it along to you. And let's do remember that this is a request for permission to apply. Should they be successful in their application, the legislature will have another opportunity to approve or disapprove actually expending the funds. So we'll have another look at this. Representative Jensen. Thank you. Senator Morse.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This discussion, I think, gives pause to reflect on a much bigger question. and that is, if you think about education in the last 16 years and this migration of control to an ever increasing central authority between the state and the federal government, has the quality of education improved? Is it better today than it was pre-Measure 5? And I think that's a fundamental question to think about as we build systems and call transparency and accountability and mandates for, you know, just a whole host of things from a central authority perspective. Is the quality of education better today than it was in 1990?
Are you addressing that question to anyone in particular?
That's very much a rhetorical question.
Thank you.
Madam Co-Chair, but you know,
so.
As you look at everything that we do in the name of accountability, are we actually increasing the quality of education? I'm not so sure that we are.
Right, that is a much bigger question. Any further discussion? Senator Berger.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Question of clarification. You said this would simply give them the authority to apply for the grant, and would you please explain to me how I'm going to get the second shot at it?
Explain the process.
Sure, Madam Chair, Senator Berger. This will allow them to apply for the grant. They actually will not know whether they get the grant until later this summer. And so we will not be adding any, this particular action does not add any limitation or give them any ability to spend the $5 million if they get it. So we will have to take another action, the body would have to take another action to actually be able to spend those dollars.
And Senator, if grants are approved when the legislature is not in session, the authority to grant an agency the ability to spend the revenue received is vested in the emergency board on behalf of the legislature. Right. Representative Galizia.
I just wanted to respond to Senator Morse. My answer would be no. But in this country, we've chosen an industrial model of education which mandates this type of reporting, these requirements, and that's where we are, and that's where the Department of Education finds itself. Some states, for example, Maine, are trying to opt out of the No Child Left Behind and go the other way. The superintendent here has tried to, in a sense, go with the flow and try to create a system of testing and measurement that will work for the students of Oregon. I think the, you know, the question is, does it function? I would just remind people that this is, we have these mandates for No Child Left Behind, but we don't have the funding. So let's get $5 million more from the federal government to do what the feds and the state, all of us, are requiring of educational of the districts to do.
Thank you. I would ask that we not enter into the discussion that Senator Morse opened up for us. Focus on the question in front of us, whether we will allow the department to submit this application. Representative Garrard, to that point.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. A question to Mr. Harris.
Mr. Harris? Mr. Hill?
Yeah, I'm sorry. During the interim, I met with a group of teachers in my area, and this was one of the subjects that they had given a priority to in regards to the fact that the state of Oregon is so far behind everyone else in contributing to this database and having access. What I'm having a problem with is making sure that what this grant will do is to help that. Can you help clarify that for me?
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative Garrard, I think that's exactly what this grant is supposed to do. It's supposed to help those folks, the teachers and the administrators, have better access to the data.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nolan. I haven't had an opportunity to look very closely at the education budget this year yet. But in the last session, I looked at it very closely in the subcommittee on education and ways and means. It's a pretty opaque accountability from that agency. One of those areas of opaqueness is in their key performance measure descriptions. And I forget how many of them in the last session, their response was simply not applicable. But it was well over 100. And it seems like today we're being told again that the performance measures that relate to this request, they haven't addressed them yet, but they'll let us know. I guess my question is, when will they let us know when the key performance measures become applicable to the Department of Education? I'll let you know on this.
Thank you, Senator. I heard it a little differently. I heard that the department had addressed it, but that it hadn't come up in subcommittee, and so the information wasn't available to us. Did I understand that wrong?
No, Madam Chair. I believe they have addressed specifically which performance measure, but how that performance measure is going to be affected was the issue. And so
the specific techniques. Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks. Okay. All in? To the point.
No,
Senator,
we're asking for objections.
Any objections?
Yes.
Senator Johnson, Senator Nelson, Senator Whitsitt. Motion carries. Dare I ask whether there's other business before the committee? Representative Morgan.
Okay, I just would like to express my appreciation to the co-chairs in bringing the co-chairs budget forward. I'm very much looking forward to raising the level of the discussion to a new level. And I know that it's a lot of work to put a co-chairs budget together, and I just want to express my personal appreciation for bringing it out.
Well, thank you. And I truly believe that I'm anxious to have the discussion about the substance of what's in our recommendation and look forward to that debate. Thank you all. See you next Thursday. We're adjourned.
Yeah. That was